And you didn't even play that game your wife brought to us. So, for the new Bible study, everybody pray for Deacon Sean. For gracefully getting old. I don't know what that means. Gracefully. Not graceful about getting old. So the name of this is Free Indeed. Now, the reason why this is so important is we love to talk about freedom today. In fact, we like to think we're free today. And you hear in a lot of stories. And one of the main things, like we even say about our country, at least we're free. You know, we'll put that out there. And people like to think they're free. The term indeed is saying really free. Do you understand that? Now, I heard an example used. I'm going to use the same one. In which if a man was in jail and he broke out of jail, he's free. Do y'all get that? Okay, he's free. So even if he stayed out that whole entire time, his whole entire life, he is free. But he's not free indeed. When a man did his time and he's released and there's no parole, no, what do you call it, parole or the time they have on him, how was it? Parole, yeah, have all that time that he has on, that he has to look at or whatever, he's free indeed. Do you get where I'm coming from? He doesn't have to look over his shoulder. He doesn't care if he sees a cop. He doesn't have to hide. He can go get a job. You understand that? You know. So that's the difference. Majority of people today are free and not really free. What the term free shows us is what Satan does successfully. He takes a piece of the true definition, just a piece of it, and makes it the entire definition. Even though emotions may play a part in love, and it plays a very small part in love, he made it love. Do y'all notice that? Even though your situation, and not in the way that he made it, plays a part when it comes to peace, okay? Because despite the peace, he made it the whole definition. When this person's this way, the weather's this way, then I have peace. Do y'all understand that? So peace and all of these things, we allow him to distort the definition. And that's why we're so lost. When we think we're loving our kids, while in reality we're not. While we think we're obeying God, we're really not. We're doing a piece of it. So this is very important to let us understand, hey, are we really free? Now, let me show you something. All creation is subject to bondage of decay due to the fall of man, is what it says. Now, look what it says in Romans 8, 18 to 25. This came up in the question. I want to make sure it was answered concerning freedom and bondage. He says, I consider that our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And that fits that light and momentary. You know what I mean? The same line falls in that where he says, I consider that our present suffering, which is showing he does understand you are suffering. He's saying, are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. He's basically saying, once you see it, you'll go, wow. It'll seem like I swept a step and I gained a whole entire planet. You know what I mean? It's even going to be bigger than that. It's not going to make sense, okay? But going on, it says, now the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. So what he's basically saying, he's waiting for that final tally to come up for real Christians to go, these are the ones I call sons. Okay, and that includes you women too, okay? If y'all remember that verse where it says, in Christ Jesus, there is no male, female, no slave, freedom, there's this and that. We're all called sons. Y'all understand it, okay? I just happen to be a son. Y'all happen to be son daughters. Do y'all get that? Okay, but we're all called sons. That's what this means, okay? But when it shows me, it's saying for all creation, it's saying expected sons to be revealed. It's saying in verse 20, for the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one whom subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into glorious freedom of the children of God. The ones that are going to be revealed, unfortunately, are the ones that put everything in bondage. The reason why you see decay, you see snow, you see tornadoes, you see the just the decay of the world is man's fault. We allowed sin in this world. Do y'all get this? And all creation is suffering because of us. Amen? Okay? And that's what he's saying. That's it. So creation is sitting there going, when are they going to be finally revealed so I can be a tree forever? So I can be an animal forever? It wasn't the animals, it wasn't anything else, it was us. Do y'all understand that? Okay, man did. That's why it's called the fall of man. It was disastrous to the world. It says in verse 22, it says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So it's saying your decay. So even what Brother Mark was saying, a lot of the struggles we go through, Satan wants to turn it into me just hurting, while in reality it's us hurting to be with God. Do you understand that? But we've allowed our emotions or these other things to turn it into something else. That's why people chase after something. When they get that something, they overtake that something, and then they go, why isn't it helping? You know what I mean? How many of you have, if I was only rich, if I was only in a relationship, if I only felt better, and what Solomon showed us, but you still see it in life today, the people who got it are still going, it didn't help. It was momentary, it was something that pleased for the moment, but what the heck's going on? Do you understand what I'm saying? You see them hurting even more. And they don't understand it because they're missing that. And that's why it says, now the whole creation has been groaning. I mean, going to verse 23, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groaning really as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons. So those who are Christians are now, I just wait for Christ to return. And I know that. I understand that feeling. You're not fearful of death. You're almost looking forward to it, but not in a morbid way. You're looking forward in Christ returning because you fully understand the corruption of the world. Okay, if you're really loving this world down here, there's something that's warping your sight. That's why that says in Galatians, where it says weep, warm, and wail, change your laughter to mourning and so on and so forth. Why does it say all that? It's saying you need to really see what's really going on. When I put on the glasses of faith, you look at the world and go, woo. Do you understand that? So you don't mind enjoying, but you're always understanding, but I'm surrounded by this. I got a lot of work to do. When I take it off and put the things of the world, I'm like, everything's great. And you start singing, don't worry, be happy and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Where you think everything's just, you know what I mean? You say these songs and ignore what's really going on. You know what I mean? When a loved one dies, even if it's of old age, that's part of this decay. We weren't meant to die. We chose to. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? And that should make us go, wow. So when you see these disastrous stuff happen, so we're inwardly groaning. And it says, what are we groaning for? In verse 24, for in this hope we are saved. Now please catch that. When I delve into that hope and not any other hope, then salvation is true in me. Okay, then I'm truly saved. What that means is nothing down here will ever have a hold on me. That's where, even though it's not in this lesson here, I can then truly be content. A lot of us are enslaved by a flesh that'll say, if you just give me this, you'll be free. Then when you get it, gotta get more, you'll be free. And you keep doing it, and you keep doing it. You're like, how come it's not working? You just keep doing it, and you're just, after a while, miserable because you're still in bondage. You're in bondage to your flesh. But a person who's a Christian can have a whole lot, be fine, have very little, be fine. You understand why? Because their hope is in something that's eternal and everlasting. It's not the thing that fills us. And that's the thing that we have to grasp. Does that make sense? Okay? So that hope is what saves us. It says, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Did y'all catch that? It says, who hopes for what he already has. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. That's true hope. That's truly being free. Because I'm living in my hope. So there's nothing you can do to me because in my hope, there's also a knowing. Our hope is not a hope that he does come back. It's a hope that he's coming back soon. And you understand that? And you live in that. So it could be a complete catastrophe, and you still go, man, Jesus is coming back. Do y'all see that? All right. When I'm not living in my hope, disaster will make me be depressed. It'll make me crash. God, why are you doing this to me? What is going on? I can't take it. Correct? But when I live in that hope, and I go through a trial, I count it pure joy. Oh, he's working with me again. I endure it because I know it's discipline. Thank you, God, for spanking me and giving me a curfew. And y'all get where I'm coming from. You see it completely different, and you deal with it differently. When you see it, you're no longer in bondage. Remember, as a parent should do, and as God does do, when he restricts us, it's not to put us in bondage, it's to keep us out of bondage. Does that make sense? To keep us out of bondage. When he creates the boundaries are so I don't fall over the rail into bondage, even though I feel, but I want to be able to fall over the rail if I want to, and be in bondage. We say foolish things when we're not led by God. So that's what creation is going through. We are in a slavery that's much deeper than what you know. And we allow Satan to give us this very limited jive thing we call freedom. And it's not freedom at all. Watch what happens. Whatever rules your life is, everybody say is, your master. 2 Peter 2:19, and if you read all of 2 Peter, or a big section of 2 Peter, as well as read the book of Jude, it talks about false teachers, and it really goes in depth about them. But, of course, it's talking about any Christian when it says this line in chapter 2, verse 19. It says, they promise them freedom. So the false teachers promise you freedom. Okay? And they'll say, if you just do this, and that's when you go to these cults, or even in the ones that act like they're churches, they'll give you something to say, if you just do this, tomorrow you will. It's almost like, take this pill and tomorrow you will. But watch what it says. While they themselves are slaves to depravity. Okay? And depravity is that overindulgence of self. Nothing's too good for self. Whatever it takes for self. If it makes me happy, I'm going to do it. And I want more and more of it. They're slaves to self. We overindulge because of that. And you are slave to it. And it's saying, for a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. The way you know you're mastered by something is when it is the purpose. When it is the purpose. And the way I know it is the purpose, because if I can't find God tell me to do it, then something else did. Did y'all catch that? And I know you're probably like, well, that's all of us. Exactly. That's why he called this terrible times. You understand? When we're fully engaged by God, you won't do anything unless God said it. Does everybody get that? Okay, it's fully led by God. So that's what slavery is. So that's why some people who have all the money in the world, seem like they run every company, doing everything they're supposed to, are some of the deepest slaves you've ever seen. And you'll see some people that have very little, live with very little, but they're smiling, they're enjoying it. Ecclesiastes gives that thing. A person goes, he works, you know, does his basic thing, makes what money he does, raises his family. He is freer than that person who owns, you know, tons of things, have tons of money, has tons of access. He's a slave. Why? Because he now indulged in the flesh, and the flesh will put you in bondage. Does that make sense? Everybody got that? And that's true. That's true slavery. Now, the worst bondage to man is slavery to self. Okay? It says in Romans 7, 14 to 24. We know that the law is unspiritual, but I am unspiritual. Okay? Now, we became unspiritual when we rejected God. Does everybody get that? Okay? So he says, I am unspiritual. Am I on the right? Everybody with me?
Yes, the law is unspiritual.
No, I am sorry. We know that the law is spiritual. Thank you very much. Okay. I was looking at your face. I'm like, what am I doing? Somebody here spiritual? I don't know about that. Okay, okay. He says, thank you. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual. So in other words, the Ten Commandments itself is a spiritual law. Now, why do you say that? Why do we reject it? How come we don't do it? Because it wasn't the law that was bad. It's the fact that the law says, okay, do it. And you can't do it sometime. No, do it perfectly. And then if you fail, that same law says the wages of sin, death. You get one chance. Do y'all get this? That's what messes it up. That's what blows it. And that's what God was showing. He said, okay, man, here you go. And even in that, he gave mercy. He gave chances. Go and kill some animals and you know, put them in your place. See how this works. And man kept failing and got worse and falling. And his mercy kept pulling him back up. We showed him, you failed. Now, he said, I'm going to give you grace. I'm going to empower you to do this. So you don't do it yourself. Do y'all see how this works? Okay? But he says, I am unspiritual. He said, the reason why I couldn't do the law is because I'm not spiritual. Do you understand that? I wasn't that. But he says, sold as a slave to sin. When were you sold as a slave to sin? When did that happen? Yeah, when Adam ate the fruit. When Adam ate the fruit, we were sold. It was like sold. That's why you hear the term redeem. When he died, he redeemed us. Redeem means to buy back. He died, he bought us back. for those who are selective about that. And then it goes into, so here's my problem, he says. He says in verse 15, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. Okay? And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. He's basically saying, I know what the law is telling me to do is right, but I keep doing stuff that I'm not supposed to do. Do you understand this? Okay? And he goes on to say, as it is no longer I myself who do it, but it's the sin living in me. Okay? So in other words, that flesh. I'm allowing my flesh to be my master, is what he's saying. We go over, once again, our flesh is more hit by the things of the world and things like that, our desires and all that. We allow that to engage us instead of what God says. It's always that battle. What I want, what he says. What I want, what he says. Okay? And he says, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. Did y'all catch that? Now, we all have to get to that point to know nothing good. But we, once again, remember I told you, what thing made this world terrible, which almost seemed wholesome. I remember somebody even brought this up, because I loved the man, and I thought he meant well and he did good. But you know how he got on TV, talking about Mr. Rogers, and told every kid that they're special. Okay? Now, in a certain case, yes, but not in what he was saying. It almost made me go, yeah, in me. And we start getting a strong belief in me. And I'm not blaming it on Mr. Rogers. Please don't riot or anything. I'm saying that's what we start bringing up our kids on this you and believe in you and you and you. And you understand that? And the you thing got so strong in us, we thought we were good. That's why a person immediately go, I'm a good person. While Paul caught it and went, no, there's nothing good in me. And if Adam and Eve would have knew that, of we are nothing without God. We have to raise our children realizing, we almost want to scare them up. You'll fail miserably if you don't have God. That's what you want. You want them to leave your house going, you'll fail. You don't want them to go, no, you're great. You're beautiful. You're this. You want them to go, you're absolutely horrible without God. That sounds mean, doesn't it? That sounds, but if you really think about it, that's what the Bible says. And because we didn't learn that is why we keep falling away from God. We can't do anything without God. And that's what he says. If nothing good lives in me. That's what he just said. That is in my soul. He says, for I have the desire, and I want to be clear here, that word desire, you know how we usually is epithumia? This one is not epithumia. Okay, the Greek word for this one doesn't mean desire in the what I desire or what I lust after. This is the I know what I'm supposed to do. What I should, what I know I'm supposed to do. That's what that desire means. When I know I'm supposed to do this over here. So it says, the things that I know I'm supposed to do or the things that I desire to do, what is good, it says, but I cannot carry it out. Did y'all catch that? You know what I mean? I know I'm not supposed to be doing this, but I keep doing this. And he's saying, for what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. Why? Because it feels good. Right? But I know it's wrong. How many of us do stuff and you know it? You know it's wrong, but you're like, but come on, man. You know what I mean? And it's a struggle. He's saying, this I keep doing. He says, now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it's the sin living in me that does it. He's not using this as I can say, see, it's not my fault, it's an excuse. He's showing it as slavery. You have now been put in trap and you are now enslaved to you. That's what he's saying. You've allowed your flesh now to rule over you. Okay? Something simple. We go, I'm hungry, and we eat, correct? And we're destroying ourselves because we think we're starving. I hate saying that because I set myself up, and then when I come home and tell my wife I'm starving, and then she goes, no, you're not, because she listens to sermon, you know, so I don't know if she listens to anything else, but she does listen to that. But how many of us just have those moments where I'm hungry, and we eat, hungry? You're letting your desire tell you. Now, there's nothing wrong with your desire going on. You're hungry, and then you go, no, we're okay. That's you beating your body to make it your slave. No, we won't eat until this time. And your stomach will growl. You'll feel desire. But you're still going, no. That's you beating your body. That's you leaning upon the Spirit. And that's me. Now, the Spirit part is when you pray to the Spirit, say, give me strength to overcome this desire. Now, I'm depending on the Spirit to overcome the flesh. But we keep giving in to the flesh. He's saying, I do not do what I do want to do. It's no longer I'm doing, but sin living in me. He says, so I find this law at work in me. Watch this. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Okay, why? Because it's in me. That's the bond. You understand that? It's not Satan he's talking about. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. You understand that? He's saying, for in my inner being, I delight in God's law. That's the spiritual part, right? But I see another work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work with my members. So my flesh is saying, man, this feels good. My mind is going, you know what God said. Feels good. You know what God says. Feels good. You know what God says. Y'all hear me? You understand? And it's, you know, it's like a commercial, but it doesn't turn out right. You know what I mean? We keep giving in to the flesh. And that's where he ends with this. It's a powerful line that we all should do to understand the slavery we're in. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from Satan? Is that what it says? Who will rescue me from the people around me that cause trouble? No, no. What does it say? Who will rescue me from this body of death? So who will rescue me from what? From me. Who will rescue me from me? It's powerful, isn't it? You know what I mean? He's saying the whole problem is me. The biggest struggle is me. Because I keep giving in to me, even though I know him. Amen? Okay? So that's the key that we want to grasp. We're going to stop there. We will continue, God willing, next week. Any questions so far? All right. So we're good? All right. Let's pray.